Hey, this is Victor with VentoBot, and on today's episode of Don't Kill the Messenger, I have a special guest, Carol, who is really going to help us, give us like three tips and tactics and strategies to really help to double or triple the income of our audience here today, and you specifically. So now, before we begin, going over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy if you're ready to go from the best kept secret to the go-to authority in your market. These are the same four phases we take our private clients through to generate never-ending leads and help them transition to the go-to authority. Now, I welcome today Carol Boston. How are you doing today, Carol?
I'm excellent. Thank you for having me here.
Of course. Yeah, no problem. So I know we were just talking about this offline real quick before we jumped on. And you were saying that a lot of what you do, because some people kind of put you in this position of like business coach, but really what you help people do is pull out their leadership, it sounds like, and really help them to thrive in that role as business owners and entrepreneurs so that we can scale, which it sounds like you've gotten fantastic results, double, triple their income that way. So let's kind of dive into that. What is it that some of the things you look for with someone you work with?
You know, interesting enough, my clients, once they hire me, I give them a very detailed intake form. So they hire me for different reasons, yet I noticed that they were all getting amazing results in their business. Yep. So I sat down with them and I said, let's talk about the benefits of working with me, just not necessarily the results of doubling or tripling your income.
Right.
So for example, and one of the things that I shared with you in the writing is that I'm really all about helping women know their value, own their power, and advocate for themselves so they can rise up and become the lioness leaders they were created to be, right? And so often women get into, whether it's corporate America or business, and they feel like they have to prove themselves, or they have to defend their position, or they have something to hide or to protect. And I help them know that they came here fully equipped. We just got to pull all that out of them. And I use several tools with my clients, and I have one. She's a family law attorney. She hired me a year and a half ago for two main reasons. She said, I want confidence. I want to know when I walk in the room, I have something of value to say, and I want to hit my weekly income goals in my practice. Now, one of the tools I use, I'm not going to tell you about today because it's my secret sauce and I don't give it away.
Right.
I am going to introduce you to three tools that I talk about in corporate America speeches and other places that you can actually implement today, and very, very effective. But she was very resistant to implementing my secret sauce. So we started on October 1st, a year and a half ago. October goes by, she didn't want to do it. November goes by, she just didn't want to do it. So finally, the week after Thanksgiving, she shrugged her shoulders and she goes, okay, Carol, I will. And I said, consistently? And she said, consistently. January through May, we tripled her income every month. Every month.
Wow, that's fantastic, yeah.
And I said that she wanted confidence, right? She wanted to know she had something of value to say outside of the courtroom. And I find that a lot with some of my female clients that I work with that happen to be have a degree or they're certified. They don't understand that they can be qualified when they're not certified, right? So in January of last year, one of her pieces of homework was to go sign up to be a speaker at the Broward Women's Alliance. And honestly, I thought she was gonna wet her pants. And she wouldn't do it, scared to death. Finally, she goes and signs up. Now I knew they already had all their speakers for the rest of the year, right? She's not gonna get to speak until the following September. So fast forward into March, and we had our first session. This would have been our last session because my program is typically 6 months, my average program. And she pauses, and she looks at me, and she says, so, Carol, she kind of looks me up and down, and she says, do you think you can get me ready to run for judge? And I thought, well, not in 2 weeks. I said, when's the election? And she said, 2020, but when? And she said, November. I said, you're going to hire me for another 18 months? She said, you get me ready? And I said, absolutely. Let me tell you, the growth and the transformation I've gotten to see, that piece is more important to me than her doubling and tripling her income. It really is.
I love it, yeah.
She's a better speaker. She's a more effective communicator. She's setting better boundaries. Women have a hard time understanding that no is a complete sentence. I really work with my female clients in understanding that no is a complete sentence, right? Because women, we tend to be nurturers, right?
Yeah.
So we always want to take care of everybody. So if if I cannot say this and take care of your feelings, or if I give you a story about why I'm saying no, then maybe you won't be upset with me. Or in reality, maybe I won't be upset with me, right?
Yeah.
Think about it, right? So in speaking, three of the tools I'm going to introduce you to today. The first one is called tacking. Now, tacking is a boating term. And when I stand up in front of audiences and I speak, and I did this 6 times last year inside American Express, for example.
Yep.
And I read them the definition of tacking. It's a boating term. And I say, who in the audience understood that? Nobody ever raises their hand. And I say, yeah, me either, right? So my definition of tacking, and you might want to write this down. It allows you to see success more quickly, celebrate more often, and pivot very easily if you find something isn't working. So to give you an example of how to do that, my second to last year in corporate America, I was at Paychex. I had a 27-year successful sales career in corporate America. And all of a sudden, they tripled our quota overnight. I mean, the number was so big, I couldn't look at it. So I went into my boss, and we had a private one-on-one sales meeting every Monday morning. And I said, your job for me is every Monday when I come in here on a white piece of paper in big, thick red ink, I only want to know my number for that week. And she said, okay, I'll do that for you. And every week we did it. And every week I took it back and put it on my cubicle. And I said, what three things can I do today to get me closer to that goal? You see, one of the things I teach is how you can take small steps and turn them into giant leaps, right?
I would say,
what three things can I do today? And as I teach my clients, they have to be bite-sized, digestible pieces. They have to be accomplishable. And then you bring in the second tool, which is the art of celebration. Now, I'll just give you an example from corporate America. Some of you may be very familiar with that. We're going to celebrate, Carol, when you make your annual quota. Well, that could be 12 months from now, depending on what kind of year I'm having, right?
Right.
And so I believe the universe honors what we celebrate. So one of the things I teach on and help my clients is they celebrate every attempt. The attempt doesn't have to be perfect, but the attempt got them into action. I had a mentor years ago, Keith Cunningham, and he said, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly the first time. Right?
I love that. Yeah.
Right? And then you learn and you do better the next time. And I'll be candid with you, with my female clients, the art of celebration is one of the most difficult things they try to undertake. Because a lot of us as women, when we were little girls, we were taught to play nice, smile pretty, and don't make waves and kind of stay in the background. And we were taught that if we celebrated what we were doing and who we were, that it was boastful or braggadocious, a lot of negative terms that really isn't true, right? It just really isn't true. So what I did is I used the tool of tacking that entire year. I made that quota 9 months into the year.
Nice.
And honestly, when I walked in my boss's office and she's like, you made your quota. I said, what? Because you see, I was so focused on just doing those three things every day to get me closer to my goal. And that's how you turn small steps into giant leaps. And you're like, oh my gosh, right? So often when we set a goal, it's like having a big elephant up in the corner, right? And you've heard that saying, how do you eat an elephant, right? Come on.
One bite at a time. Bite.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what tacking allows you to do, because what you focus on expands. And if you focus on that elephant, that's how people make mountains out of molehills, right? I don't know if you know who Joyce Myers is, but I learn a lot from her. And she gets on stage and people will say, do the robot, do the robot. And this is why she does the robot. She says, people make mountains out of molehills. And then she goes into her robot. And she goes, because they think about it, talk about it, tell their neighbor. Think about it, talk about it, tell their friends. Think about it, talk about it, tell their spouse. And all of a sudden, this little problem is massive, right? So I help my clients reduce the size of that and get it into something that's very bite-sized and digestible. I had one client, the first bite-sized digestible goal she had was to not hit the snooze button 5 times, was to hit it 4.
Yep, I love it.
And so what she had to learn was when she hit it 4 times and got out of bed was to celebrate. And she said, I've been doing this my whole life. It took her 3 weeks to go from 5 snoozes to getting out of bed when the alarm went off. Made a massive difference in her day, but all she did was celebrate that one little, oh, I only hit it 4 times today. Make sense?
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And jump in anytime if you have something, because I get excited about what I...
Like, one thing specifically about that, I know before this whole, like, quarantine thing happened, I was waking up at 4:30, around, like, 4:15, 4:30. I'm waking up at 5 now, but I was waking up, like, 4:15, 4:30 because I wanted, like, an hour to myself, and then I would have, like, gym time to myself, and then I would come and, like, spend some time with my girls, and then I'd come get ready for the day. And it wasn't – and it's very interesting that you say that. It's about celebrate the small wins and take small steps. I didn't just jump into waking up 4:30. I actually first started by setting my a lot of people have an alarm to wake up. I have an alarm to get ready for bed. So I would pay more attention to that, and I would actively think, all right, it's around that time, and I would start to go to sleep earlier. So I felt more rested. And then I started by, let's start waking up at 5 first, and then 4:45, and then 4:30, and then 4:15. Sometimes it changes because we have a little one, so like she would wake up at 4 to get changed, so I would have to be up anyways. But I mean, like, it helped to, like, slowly make those steps to the overall goal, and now it's like it's not a problem for me to do that because of those small steps and changes. So I feel like that's not just applied to business, but you can apply it to anything. Like, it's really what's the main goal, and how do you break it up into smaller pieces, and how do you celebrate those small wins so that you can actually make progress and grow from there?
Exactly. I mean, it could even tie into to losing weight. So for example, the third tool that I teach is called empowering questions. And if you're listening out there and you got a pen and your paper, I'm going to give you a big, big, big aha moment. An empowering question never, ever, ever starts with why, ever. Think about when you were a kid and your parents came up and said, why did you do that? What happened? You got defensive immediately, right?
Yeah.
You had to defend your position, then your ego got involved, then your emotions got involved, and when emotions go up, intelligence goes down. It's true for every human being.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So empowering questions never start with why. They start with who, what, how, and sometimes where. And sometimes where. When you take, the questions are the answers. You see, all of us, I believe, all of us came here fully equipped. We just don't know the right questions to get the answers out of us. That's why I believe everybody needs a coach, because you can't read the label when you're inside the jar. And we're all in our own jar.
Yep.
I mean, I remember, you know, Oprah saying she had four coaches, and someone was like, why do you have four coaches? And she said, because nobody's an expert in all four quadrants of my life. And I want to live every quadrant of my life at the highest level. Right?
Yep.
So we need somebody on the outside looking at us. And one of the key things that helps my clients is they learn it's not easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, and I stay with them all the time, is to not be attached to the outcome. You have to be willing to ask an empowering question and not be attached to how it shows up. That's critical. So that, for example, I want to lose 20 pounds, and, you know, I've tried this for, you know, 10 years, right? Still got that same 20 pounds. Yeah. Well, what's going on there if every time, and this is key for leadership, is every time you don't keep your word to yourself, you erode self-trust. And every person that I have ever asked, again,
just to kind absolutely. Of clarify and like really bring that home, because I think that's very important.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, every single person I've asked this of except one told me, when I said, do you keep your word to yourself more often, or do you keep your word to others more often? Every one of them but one. And I've asked hundreds of people.
Yeah.
They say I keep my word to other people. And I said, do you realize that every time you don't keep your word to yourself, you are eroding self-trust? It's just insidious because you don't recognize it. I mean, for example, Victor, if I told you 3 times in a row I was going to do something and that I didn't do it, you would start to mistrust me, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah.
But we don't recognize that we're mistrusting ourselves. And then that's how we lose faith. And we lose confidence. One of the key things both my male and my female clients would tell you is that their confidence is escalated, because I teach them that confidence is not a feeling. Think about that one.
Yeah, that's powerful. Absolutely.
Confidence is a decision to act.
Yep. And I feel now more than ever is like a really relevant time specifically for this topic. So because it's people are scared. So in my world, a lot of people have been thrown online and they may not have had ever to do anything online. They may have been focused more on like speaking, live events, networking, which is a fantastic way to interact with people, build relationships. It's one of the fastest way to do it. And I talked about this on another episode with Pia Silva, where she was saying like, that's a short-term approach though, because you always have to do it and do it and do it to keep getting more business and to keep helping more people. Whereas the online version of that, it can be a little bit more evergreen, because content, it lives forever. And so you can move people and circulate people through different pieces and milestones and help them elevate themselves closer to you. And most people don't do that online. And when they're thrown there, they get scared and they're like, okay, well, I have to go now take 2 weeks to build this thing that I needed to do that I probably should have had a year ago, but it wasn't needed. And so they're taking 2 weeks behind the scenes while all this is happening, instead of just going out and acting and just saying, you know what, if it's messy, it's messy. But like you mentioned, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly.
Yes.
You know, I'm okay with not being perfect right now. And you're showing up at a time like this, people are looking for who's going to be the one to really show up. Who's going to be the person to really lead right now? You know, and that is very important. I think you hit it perfectly, and you said it perfectly there, where like confidence is action.
Yeah, confidence is a decision to act, and acting alleviates anxiety. Mm-hmm. You might want to write that down, right? Action alleviates anxiety. So the key piece behind that is that you cannot feel your way into acting, but you can act your way into feeling. I mean, think about it. Let's just say you, Victor, you and your wife have a bad argument one night before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And you wake up in the morning and you're still angry and you don't feel like being loving, right?
Yeah.
But it's been your pattern that you normally go downstairs and you make the coffee and you bring your wife coffee in bed and you get back in bed and you snuggle while y'all have coffee together, and you walk her to her car and kiss her goodbye and tell her how pretty she looks. That's been your habit for your entire marriage. And now you've had this first big blow up and you don't feel like doing it today. But if you will go take action and do it, by the time you do that and you walk her to your car, you're going to feel a lot more loving, because you can act your way into feeling. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes we just need somebody behind us that believes in us and give us that confidence to push us into that. And I'll be candid. I was guilty of that myself. I was hired by American Express out of Denver. I had done some other speaking gigs for American Express and I was all excited. I said, yes, they're going to fly me to Denver. I was so happy. And I get on the phone. I'm on a Zoom with this beautiful lady named Shannon. And she says, oh, no, no, no. She says, all my employees are virtual. And I said, what do you mean? I'm not going to come to Denver. And she says, no. And she said, I have 5,000 virtual employees. You're going to do it over our WebEx platform. Now, I was in resistance because I had never done that. That was my first one. Think about it. That was my first one to 5,000 people.
Yep.
And so I kept pushing back every time we would practice. And I'd say, are you sure I can't stand up? Because I was used to speaking in front of live audiences and I felt very grounded when I stood up. And then I realized the very thing I was going through is the very thing I help my clients with and I teach, is that you only grow outside of your comfort zone. That's the only place you grow.
Yep.
And sometimes your greatest blessings come wrapped up in sandpaper, right? They don't feel so good.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So I went to American Express here locally out in Sunrise 2 days before the big event to practice, last run through. And I met a great gentleman there. And he says to me, I got it figured out how you can do this standing up, Carol. And I said, nope, I'm going to do it sitting down. I'm going to do it sitting down. It's out of my comfort zone. But guess what? Now I'll know that I can do it. And that's just adds an, it helps me expand it, adds another piece to my repertoire. And you're getting ready to see a lot of me on video, on LinkedIn, and Facebook Lives. And I have been developing content. So I totally, in that particular area, I'm in a parallel process with my clients.
It makes absolute sense. Yeah. Because again, a lot of people have been thrown online. So it's definitely getting out of your comfort zone. Like for me, for example, like I live online. Like that's the majority of my business is on online, virtual. I have virtual teams. Though we live, like one of my project managers lives in the same city, like we just live virtually. I don't necessarily have to go and have an office and have that overhead for us. Mm. But the live event space was the biggest thing for me. Like I networked, sure, and I spoke at places, but I never really sponsored and spoke at like 3-day conferences or anything like that, because I was doing fine online. But it, like, very similar to what you said, it was something that I realized I had to go into, if not just to go out of my comfort zone so I can grow in that area. And yes, now it made me fuller as a business, because it allowed me to not just have the following online, but now I could invite those people and have a very physical interaction with them one-on-one, face-to-face. I can say, like, meet me at this conference. Like, I have some like free tickets here, and I have some this, and I have some that, and like, meet me there and whatnot. And it's like a great way for my following to really just say, like, hey, I want to go. I've learned so much from you. I want to go meet you in person. I want to actually get to know you in person. Cause there's a little magic behind that. I believe. And so I completely get what you're saying here with, and I love these three tips. The first one with tacking and really celebrating those small wins and really going through and breaking things down into smaller bite-sized chunks. And remind me what the second one was again.
The first one was tacking. The second one was celebration.
I combined the two. Okay.
Gotcha.
So like breaking them down and then the celebrating, the smaller, the wins, the action that we're taking.
Every time.
And then the third, of course, I'm sorry, what?
Is asking empowering questions.
Right. And that's funny because I feel like unintentionally I've done that. And I think I grew into that unintentionally as my business grew. It was more like I was sort of asking, like, okay, so why can't I, like, when I first started, like, why can't I sign on more clients? Why can't I make this thing work? It's very true. You tend to get very defensive. And I started to change the way I ask that. It was a colleague of mine suggested it. And I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot. And I was like, how can I make, I think it changed from like, why aren't I signing enough clients, to how can I sign more clients on? How can I help more people? And then it started transitioning more into like a serving mentality instead of like, why me? Like, how can I serve myself? It became, how can I serve others? And it wasn't like, why can't I do this? But it's like, how can I help others? And that in turn ends up helping me as well and my family and my business. So I completely love those three actionable things that we can do almost immediately as soon as we're done listening here, because.
Could I jump in? I want to give your audience the number one most empowering question you can ask. You ready?
Yeah.
And remember, you can't be attached to the outcome. And I'm going to give you a quick story behind that real quick. But the number one question is, what else is possible?
I love it. What else is possible?
And you don't sit and try to figure it out. Put it out to the universe, I don't know, 6-10 times a day out loud, then go back to your work, then ask again, what else is possible, and go back. And so often we don't do that, and we're not able to receive a lot of stuff because we've already decided what it needs to look like.
Yep.
So quick story. There's a man who died. This will really emphasize this for you. Man died, he went to heaven. He's walking down this long hallway with St. Peter. And on every side, door after door, name after name. And he's like, do I have a door, St. Peter? Do I have a door? And St. Peter's like, keep walking. So they walked a long way. And the guy's nervous by the time they get there. He's like, I don't know if I should be happy or nervous. And all of a sudden, St. Peter flings open the door. And this guy is just flabbergasted from floor to ceiling, this enormous room. And it is packages, boxes, and bags, and all kinds of sizes and shapes and colors. And he looks at St. Peter and he says, what is all of that? St. Peter says, oh, those are all the gifts that God had to give you that you never received because they didn't look like what you thought they should look like.
I love that. Yep.
Right. And we do that. We decide our business has to look this way. The number of clients we have has to look this way. I had another client, family law attorney, lawyers especially, they're taught you get out of school, you go to work for somebody that owns brick and mortar, or you get your own brick and mortar. She was miserable. We got rid of that brick and mortar, got her two VAs, happy as a pig in mud, did a bunch of other work with her. And she says, her testimonial will be on my new website. And she said in the 6 months of working with me, she had more clients than she had in the first 4 years of her practice.
That's fantastic, yeah.
But part of that is, Voltaire said, do not judge a man by his answers. He said, judge a man by his questions. And when we all learn to ask better questions, we will get better answers.
That's true. I agree. Yep. So I guess as we kind of come to a close here, where would you say, where can we find out more if we want to reach out to you? And I know you have something to give away to the audience here. But if they want to know more, they want to reach out to you to really have specific questions about themselves and these three things that they can do right now, what can they do?
I shared with you earlier, and I'll just share with your audience, I'm going through a complete rebranding. So my current company, you can find me at www.cbaccelerators.com. That's cbaccelerators.com. I'm going to tell you right now that website doesn't show nearly what I do or what my clients have accomplished. If you want to reach out to me, I do want to give you a special offer. So for the first five people that email me, we're going to make it simple. In the subject line, I want you to put me, if I could help you solve one thing or put one thing into place in a 30-minute call, what would it be? And for the first five that do it, I will give you a free 30-minute session, and we will either solve it or have a strategy in place that you can use these tools to go solve it. And you'll email me at carol@carolboston.com. We're going to keep it simple. Carol like a Christmas carol, carol@carolboston.com.
I love it. Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing those fantastic stories and three tips to really start to see that improvement almost immediately. Cause I feel like, and I'm really about simplicity and fundamentals. Uh-huh. And so I feel like that's a fantastic approach to that as well. It's very simplistic. It's something easy to do. Anyone can do it in like 3 to 5 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes even. And they can implement it daily, and it'll help them to get along even faster than they thought possible. And again, don't forget, remember to ask the question, you know, what else is possible, as Carol said. So thank you so much, Carol, for coming on today for the Don't Kill a Messenger show. And
may I jump in one thing real quick? May sure. I say one quick thing? Please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn too. That's where you're going to start to see most of my videos is on LinkedIn. Just gotcha. Carol Boston on LinkedIn. I'm the only short blonde haired one.
Fantastic. Okay, great. So yeah, make sure you give Carol a follow on LinkedIn, Carol Boston on LinkedIn. And before I forget, if you're serious about going from the best kept secret to the go-to authority in your market, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of the book, The Same Four Phases We Take Our Private Clients Through to Generate Never-Ending Leads and Really Transition into the Go-To Authority in Their Market. So until next time, I'm Victor with Ventobot. I'll see you guys soon. Bye.